Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers Studio in St. John, Indiana, with Jamie Goffin of Mother Wilma's Marshmallow Factory. Hi, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. It's great meeting you.
Thank you, too. To start off, I just usually ask everyone, tell me a little bit about yourself. Not necessarily the business, but just a little bit about you.
Well, I'm going to be 56 next week, which is hard to believe. Hard to believe. I still feel like I'm in my 20s.
That's the most important thing. How do you feel?
I know. I keep thinking like, wait a minute. You know, why are my hands hurting? Oh, gee, I think I have arthritis. Things like that. I'm originally from Chicago, the southeast side of Chicago, and we moved out to Crown Point, Indiana in 1988, bought an old farmhouse. I love everything old. I love vintage. I love old. I love old cars. I love everything old. And the house was built in 1869. We spent many years, you know, fixing it up. Has a few acres. I love gardening. I kept bees, kept chickens. I love homemaking more than anything else in the world. I love to be a homemaker. I love to be like making food, gardening, making sewing, anything you could do for homemaking. That's truly my passion.
So on the house, you guys bought it with the intent of working on it? Was that kind of your thing?
Yeah. It had sat on the market for a couple of years. Nobody wanted to touch it. Okay. And we came upon it, you know, with stars in our eyes. I always say it was my dream house in the nightmare condition. And we've been in there 30 years. And I, you know, sometimes I think like, oh, we could move. Now with our own business, we could, you know, now we can move anywhere. And I was like, I don't want to leave the house. I'm very attached to it.
Yeah. Well, you built it. So
yeah, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So now let's jump right into Mother Wilma's Marshmallow Factory.
Yes.
How long have you been doing it?
We're going into our fourth year with it. Yeah.
So you're kind of over the hump?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I certainly hope so. It's been really hard. You wouldn't think that, you know, oh, you're making marshmallows for a living. It's hard work.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, so much trial and error. So much, you know, figuring out and trying to stay true to your vision of it or, you know, sitting back and thinking like, okay, wait, you know, let's think about why did I start doing this in the first place? And, you know, just trying to stay on the path of what you want with it.
Yeah, that's cool. So what was kind of your beginning vision of why you started it?
Well, I was a homeschooling aunt. I homeschooled my nephew, and I was a homemaker, and those were my passions. And then he finished school, and I thought, well, I should have a job now because, you know, I needed to do something. I wasn't going to just not do something. And we had gone on a fishing trip with some friends of ours, and I had brought my homemade marshmallows for our campfires. And they just had a fit over them. They just talked about them all the way home, you know, all during the trip. They just thought, we can't get over how good these marshmallows are. And I had always made them for Christmas gifts too, or anytime we went camping, I always made homemade marshmallows. So I thought, well, gosh, you know, if they like them that well, maybe I should just try to do a few craft shows this fall, you know, to kind of do something and figure out what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And they loved them so much, I thought maybe other people will like them. So we did a show and sold out that first day. And then I thought, well, let me try this, make sure this wasn't a fluke. And we did another show and like just about sold out. And I thought, I think I might be onto something. So that's how, and it's
that's
just
cool.
Gone on from there.
Yeah. That's the best way to start a business on accident.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
So that first show, were you like sampling it and then selling packs?
I was sampling it because everybody, until we got into the camper, when I would set up a table of marshmallows, everybody thought it was soap.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's these square blocks. I, you know, they do kind of look like soap, but people were, you know, reaching their hands in the jars and grabbing them and thinking they were soap. And it was a really hard sell. Okay. It was such a hard sell.
Yeah.
And, but once they knew it was edible and they tasted it, they loved them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what we did with that.
That's cool. So tell me a little bit about the meaning behind the name, Mother Wilma's.
I had originally named the business Melt Artisan Marshmallows, and I wanted to try to kind of be fancy, you know, and gourmet-ish. And I thought, there's not a fancy bone in my body. You know, I like Converse gym shoes and rusty old pickup trucks, and that, so it just wasn't working for me. So then my favorite aunt is named Wilma, and my mother, and I, so I put the two together, Mother Wilma, as just kind of a nod to them, a remembrance of them, because they were such inspirations for me in being a wife, in being a woman, and cooking and everything that I love. So I wanted to, you know, give them the nod with that. So that's how I came up with the name. And I thought it was just fun and quirky.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it's something people remember, you know, Mother Wilma's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's got the branding touch to it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the little camper trailer that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
You said that's relatively new in the business, or
it is new in the business, but it's something we've owned for about 12 years.
Okay.
And we camped in it, and that was another little thing we bought because I thought, oh gosh, it's old and I love it, and it was so cute. So we bought it before the vintage camper frenzy,
the craze.
You know. Yeah. So I feel like we stole it actually, you know, but we got it for such a great price, and it was just my little happy place. You know, we camped in it all the time. I kept it out in the yard. If I had friends over, they'd stay out in the camper overnight. It was like our little guest house, basically. And then one day I was sitting on the couch and we had already started the business. I thought, oh my gosh, I sell s'mores and I have a vintage camper. We've got to put these two together.
Cool.
So that's, and once we did that, then it really seemed like that was the turning point with the business, because all of a sudden we were a food truck. And it opened a lot of new doors for us, being a food truck. And no longer did people come up to my space, like at the farmer's market, and go, well, what is this? You know,
right.
This is soap. It was, they came to the window, they ordered what they wanted, you know?
Okay.
And it was really, it's been great.
Okay, that's cool. So the whole marshmallow concept, everyone loves marshmallows.
You'd be surprised how many people tell me, I hate marshmallows. You know, it's like, really? Yeah. And I always tell them, it's like, you hate them because you've, like, I say, it's like, you went to Aldi and you bought a $2 frozen pizza and you ate that and you go, you know, I really like pizza.
Right.
And it's like, have you ever gone to Giordano's and had just like a fresh deep dish?
Right.
It's quite a difference.
So and that kind of leads into my next question. So a store-bought marshmallow is fat-free, I believe.
Yeah, fat-free.
Okay.
Gluten-free, dairy-free, taste-free.
Well, and what I was going to bring up, I don't know, does it have preservatives in it, a store-bought one?
The store-bought ones, they have a blue dye in them to actually make them whiter.
Okay.
And that is one thing a lot of young mothers have been coming up to me like, oh gosh, do yours have the dye in them? I'm like, no. And so they're thrilled because now their children could eat them because they're allergic to that dye or something like that.
Okay.
They have some questionable ingredients.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of the ingredient. Try something phosphate, I think, is in there.
Something you can't pronounce.
Something to keep them, last through the apocalypse.
So what makes them good? What makes them taste good?
The love that I put into them, number one.
Okay.
The magic that I put into them, number two. But mainly it's real. I only use pure cane sugar, which a lot of people use a beet sugar, which is typically a GMO sugar. Almost every sugar you buy that doesn't say pure cane sugar is going to be a GMO sugar. So that's important to me.
Okay.
To use the most top quality ingredients. And then you're going to get it fresh. You know, I make everything fresh every week, sell it fresh every week. And it's just, like I said, it's the difference between a $2 frozen pizza and a Giordano's deep dish.
That's cool.
I hope you like them. I hope you like the ones I brought.
Yeah, I can't wait to taste them. So every week, so is that about their shelf life? You buy
the
them this week?
The shelf life is like a month. They're actually never going to go bad. You know, that's the one thing about, unless I put some fresh fruit in there or some of my different recipes, then yeah, they have a shorter shelf life. You want to get them right away. But like just my plain vanilla marshmallows, they've got a shelf life of 3 months or so before they start changing more. It's more of a texture change.
Okay.
You know, they just start kind of getting a little tougher.
So you mentioned going out to food truck events and different events. And you just mentioned before we were on here that you're booked from next week into the foreseeable future.
At this point, we are pretty much booked the rest of the year. Like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know, it's all on the calendar now. I've got to go through and like, okay, literally I have to have time to like, you know, do laundry. So we'll shave some of the things off. But.
You and your husband? Is that who it is?
Yes. It's my husband and myself. We're out in the food truck.
Okay.
And then I just hired my sister full time in the kitchen. So she's helping me in the kitchen. And then I pull in, you know, part time help as need be for the holidays.
For different shows.
And different things like that. Yeah.
So if you're actually out at shows Wednesday to Saturday, so then you're baking or cooking or whatever from Sunday to Tuesday?
Yes. I'm hoping that's going to change. I'm going to try to work, you know, maybe a six day week and have a day off. That's why I hired help in the kitchen. It gets to be a lot. I can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. So the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Are you in a commissary?
We are. Okay. We are using a kitchen in Maryville, and we're so fortunate, blessed to get it because it's our own kitchen that we rent from the church.
Okay.
And so nobody else, you know, we don't have to share it with anybody.
Gotcha.
So it's you know, everything I put stays where it is. You know, I know nobody's fiddling around in there. I really like it.
And you don't have to load in and load out.
No.
And all that stuff.
Yeah. We have a key and we just go, come and go as we want. So it's wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah.
And have you been there the whole time?
We started using a kitchen, St. Matthias Church in Crown Point. That's where we first started.
Okay.
And then it was very difficult to get in because so many other food vendors were using it. And then the church itself was really busy, so they were using the kitchen a lot. So we used to have to try to, you know, book a day here and book a day there. And it really limited me on, you know, the business.
Well, yeah, if you guys are out doing that much business, mm-hmm. you need something more permanent. So I looked at your website a little bit too.
Yes.
I saw that you're actually in a few retail locations. You have some product in.
Yeah. We have about 15 retail locations.
Okay.
I don't have them all listed on the
website. Yeah. I was going to say there's only a couple
on
the website.
I know. It's hard for me to keep up with all those different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, as of today, we're in about 15.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mainly Lake County, Lake Porter.
Let me think where they're, Valpo. Yeah. Porter and Lake County. We do some shops in Fort Wayne, Indianapolis. We juried into the Indiana Artisans, which was a wonderful honor to be in that. And I'm just became the advisory board for the sweets division for the Indiana Artisans. And if you're not familiar with it, it's something to really look into. It's just a wonderful group of people who Indiana has recognized to be on the top of their game, you know,
that's a big accomplishment.
It is. And I was really thrilled and surprised, you know, when they juried me in. They took two new food people. It was year before last. They took two new food people out of 80 applicants, and we were one of them, and a pickle guy.
That's very cool.
Really awesome. And then, but they have painters, sculptors, fiber arts. They have all different types of arts
that
the Indiana Artisans have. So we sell out of their stores in French Lick and Carmel. I'm so tired that, like, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think, where are my stores? A few in Illinois. Morris. Yeah, there's some in Morris. Oswego.
So are those kind of the areas that you're venturing out in your weekends? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've been doing a lot of events in Illinois lately.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great. That whole like Oswego Plainfield area is really nice. I like it.
So how do you locate which shows you're going to go to?
Most of the time we are asked. We get a lot of emails. I think because our product is so unique and it's something different that people haven't seen before.
Gotcha.
And people love the camper and they want it at their event.
Yeah.
So we get reached out to quite a bit. And then a lot of the events are just word of mouth, you know, from other vendors that I know. Or, you know, I'll try to do some searches on social media for events at times.
Sure.
So, yeah.
So on the actual making of the marshmallow.
Yes.
How involved is the process? Like, well, I'll take a step back. So in one batch, how many pounds of marshmallow are you making?
We do everything in small batch.
Okay.
You know, I think small batch is important. I think the larger you try to do something, you do lose something. There's something there that you lose. I'm not sure quite what it is.
Yeah.
But our marshmallows, each batch makes 64 marshmallows.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that is relatively small.
Yeah, it is small batch, and they're all hand cut, and hand packaged. And okay. So it's a pretty labor intensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So is there any chance for any way to speed that up, or it's just more hands involved to get more product out?
There's a marshmallow cutting machine that's about $40,000.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I keep looking at that, and I'm just thinking, you know, if I was 20 years old. But at this point, no, we're just going to cut them by hand and, you know, keep it special.
So 64 marshmallows, so you're making multiple batches. So it's just kind of wash, rinse, repeat, process.
Yeah.
And you have multiple flavors and stuff too.
We do. Okay. We have, I don't keep track of them because, you know, like today we made Earl Grey marshmallows, you know, we literally steeped Earl Grey tea and, and made a real concentrated tea and made an Earl Grey tea. And also today we made salted caramel, mint chocolate chip. You know, we have about 50 flavors, I think, and we cycle through them seasonally.
Okay.
You know, we do that. Next week we'll be making honey lavender. That's a real popular one.
So like the Earl Grey, is that stuff like somebody suggested, you just thought of? How do you come up with your different flavors?
I really like Earl Grey tea.
Okay.
And I've started making hot cocoa with Earl Grey tea. Like I'll make a really strong cup of hot tea and then I'll mix my cocoa mix into that. And it's just really different. And as you're drinking it, you just got like all these different notes and I love it. And I thought, gosh, you know, well, maybe I could just put Earl Grey marshmallows on the hot cocoa. And so, you know, just, or I'll be walking through the ice cream aisle and like, hey, now there's a great marshmallow idea, you know,
that's
Rocky
cool.
Road or you know, something like that. So,
yeah. So the marshmallow itself, that's the Earl Grey one, that's the only flavor in it is the Earl Grey.
Earl Grey and yeah vanilla extract. Yep.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It is. Yeah. It is. We do bacon, you know, maple bacon, okay, marshmallows and
some of those trendy things.
Yeah.
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 You said earlier that it was trial and error.
It is.
So you have an idea, try it. If it doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And a lot of them times it's like, oh, that didn't translate well, you know,
right,
that kind of thing. So you just dump it out and you scratch that one off the list.
So then do people get upset? Like I had this last time and I really loved it and now you don't have it this time?
They do. I get Dreamsicle is one of the most popular marshmallows. But in my mind, Dreamsicle is summer, you know.
Right.
So I try to usually keep that in the summer. But people want to buy those flavors year round. And it just makes it a little too difficult to try to carry all the flavors all the time.
Try to have 50 of them all the time.
And then it makes it more special, you know, like, oh, you can only get these at this certain time. And, you know.
Right. That scarcity.
Yeah, exactly.
So also, I think it said that you sell stuff online too.
Yes. Yeah.
So is that, can someone request like the Dreamsicle anytime, or do you specifically have things during the same times a year?
They could request it, but then they'd have to buy the whole batch.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Back to my, in the batches. So you're making multiple small batches. How do you make sure that every one of them's the same or... So I taste it today, and 6 months from now, I taste it again, and it's
very careful, very careful measuring.
Okay.
and I used to have all the recipes just in my head. And
dangerous.
And once my sister started working, she goes, you've got to write it down. And I so we sat, and we just wrote it all down, all the recipes. So,
So just making sure that precision, and I guess with only two of you two, it cuts down on cutting corners and all that kind of stuff, so. Very cool.
Yep.
So going back the 4 years that you started, you've added stuff along the way, but is there anything that you wish you would have figured out earlier than you did that would have like big aha thing? Like, man, why didn't I do this?
I think, like we spoke before, the business happened on accident. So it wasn't something that I could have sat down and go, oh, well, you know, this is what I want. But I tell you what, I've really fallen in love with the whole food truck scene.
Okay.
And once I got in the camper, like I can be so tired and, you know, we do back-to-back events, you know, and we do events where, and typical event days are 14-hour days. You know, sometimes we'll leave the house at 4 a.m. and we're not getting home just 7 or 8 at night. And we always go back to the kitchen, wash everything up, get home, basically go to sleep, get up, and then we leave the next morning at 5. I'm happy to do it. I love it. I love getting on the road with my coffee and be like, okay, where are we going today? And when people come up to the window, I just love it.
That's awesome.
I love how happy they are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get to make people happy for a living, you know, frozen hot chocolates and the s'mores. And I, we get such great feedback. We got such great customers. And they're,
that's great.
They follow, you know, people come up to my window and go, I just drove an hour and a half, you know, because I heard you were going to be here. I'm like, I look around like, are you talking to me? You know, like, are you serious? You drove that far? And they're like, and we've stood in line for an hour, you know, waiting to get to your window. And they're happy to do it. I just shake my head.
That's gotta feel great.
It does. It feels so great. So
that's cool. Yeah. So you just said frozen hot chocolate.
Yes.
So what is that?
Oh, it's probably our most popular thing we do on the food truck. It's we make our own hot cocoa mix and we blend it with milk and ice and then we top it with our homemade marshmallow fluff. And it's great. And then we do a frozen lemon cream and we do s'mores, iced coffee. We do a lot of cold drinks. And then in cold weather, we do hot drinks. And and we do our gourmet s'mores. And those change all the time. You know, we do like a bacon bourbon s'mores and lemon blueberry s'mores. And, you know, we follow the s'mores, follow with the seasons too.
So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. I didn't realize you had...
Yeah, we got a lot going on, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's you and your husband.
Yeah.
It was you at the beginning.
Yes.
Has he been drug along willingly or kicking and screaming?
He was very willing. You know, and when I think of like when I started the business, like, you know, what my heart's desire was like, you know, not to make $1 million or anything like that. That's never been all that important to me. It's just about my family. And my husband had a job that he didn't hate it. You know, I'm not going to say that by any means. He didn't hate the job, but it was a job where he had to get up at like 2:30 in the morning. He was a truck driver, local, and he would get up at 2:30 in the morning and all the crazy weather and everything like that. And when the marshmallows started taking off and when I realized like, wow, you know, if we could get in the camper, but I thought if we get in the camper, I need him full time. You know, I can't do this by myself. And I kind of like, you know, I kind of talked to him. I said, just do it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You've got to go get a job again, or I've got to go get a job again. Let's just take the risk and do it, you know? And all I could think was like, I just don't want you to have to get up at 2:30 in the morning anymore and go out, you know, when it's zero and drive a truck. And I remember so he was like, all right. And we talk about,
have to twist too hard.
No, scared to death though. I mean, I think I lived for 1 year with just a knot in my stomach of like, what have I done? You know? And I kept telling myself, it's like worst case scenario, we get jobs. Right. And it didn't seem so bad. So that kind of took the fear out of it when you look at it that way. You know,
sure.
It's not like you're going to be tarred and feathered or, you know, something like that. You're just going to go get a job.
Right.
And so we did it. And I remember seeing him in the bed rolled up. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. He was still sleeping. I'm like, yes, yes, he gets his break now. So, but no, he's
that's cool.
He's in the kitchen right now cutting marshmallows.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's a cool thing that it made you happy to get him out of.
Yeah. And the same with my sister. My sister had a job for many years that was just so stressful for her and a very, I don't know how you say it, not a happy job, working with people that were not in a good place. And it's just a very stressful, sad kind of a job. And so that was my goal too. It's like, I just want to see her happy, you know?
Yeah.
And now she's so happy in the kitchen making marshmallows. And she's like, I can't believe this is my job now, you know? So
making marshmallows and you got three people
yeah.
going full time. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So in your free time, when you're driving around in the truck, you ever listen to podcasts or books on tape or anything
that? I do. I listen to a lot of audio tapes and so much of it because we get so interrupted a lot. I don't retain a whole lot of it.
So any of those things that you've listened to, any big aha moments that you've changed in your business or done something different or are they more for entertainment?
I watch The Prophet faithfully with Marcus Lemonis.
Yeah.
I love him. And in the last episode is something that I struggle with the most with the business, taking care of myself first. And it's really hard, like, you know, trying to have a balance. Everybody talks about the balance of life work balance. And I think I'm finally realizing, like, I don't know that there's ever a balance. I think it's more of an integration. You know, it's like, my social life now is the food trucks, festivals, is the other vendors, is my customers, you know. And I'm making it more of a point to, you know, spend more time with my family, my nieces and nephews, and, you know, things like that. But it's so difficult to take care of myself first, because I've always been a person that thinks about other people first.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I get up in the morning, it's like, gosh, you know, I really should put some makeup on today, you know. But so often I think it's like, let's just get going, you know, jump in the shower, let's go, we got things to do. And I have a hard time balancing that.
So is there anything that you've tried to specifically do lately to enact that? Like,
I am trying to make rituals, like make things like, you know, you do get up and you take your shower and you put your makeup on and you do, you know, try to put your best face forward, even though you're not going to really see anybody. You're just going to the kitchen to make marshmallows. Right. It's just psychological. It makes you feel better.
It is.
And then now I get to the kitchen and I make a big cup of Earl Grey tea and I sit, and I'm so horrible with social media. It's just so hard to keep track of it all, to keep up with it all. And I'm like, okay, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to answer your emails. You're going to, you know, go through social media and make sure you've responded to your customers. Make sure you, you know, you keep up on that and post something. And then, you know, then before you even get started making marshmallows or whatever, you know, these are the things you've got to do. And then I've got to get back to taking better care of myself. I just have to. Yeah. So I'm going to go home and work out tonight.
There you go. And one thing for me that I've learned is if you put it on the calendar, it's harder to ignore.
It is harder to ignore. Yeah. It is.
The social media thing, I'm at a loss for it all too. There's too many parts to it.
There is.
And it changes all the time. I think that's the thing.
It is. Yeah. It's like trying to hold sand in your hand. It's like, how do you keep track of all this? And I see people that seem to do such a great job of it, you know, and it's like, how do you do it?
It's probably somebody else managing it for them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. And I just think, like, hashtag what? I don't
And that part of it, I really am clueless to, the whole hashtag.
Yeah. On the way here, I was thinking about, I was like, gosh, I need to go like get a book on, you know, Instagram for Dummies or something like that, and just like really like try to hammer this out and figure it out.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, if you figure it out, let me know.
Okay.
So outside of business, sounds like you're running 7 days a week. Is there anything that you try to do outside of business? Fun for yourself, fun for you and your husband?
I like cats.
Okay.
I'm teasing. No, I have been consumed by this for the last 3 years, and that is one thing. Now, we did take a vacation last fall, though. We did go to Vermont and Maine, so we did that. We just like blocked a week out and went, and I think we're going to do that again this year. So I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, where to go and what to do. And you know, I really am. I know I'm being silly with a lot of things, but I really am trying to see that, you know, you just have to carve that time out. You have to just stop. Like last night when I got home from the kitchen, I got home about 6:30. I turned my phone off. I just turned it off. And now I leave my iPad and my laptop at the kitchen, you know, so it's not even home. And now I turn my phone off. I just want to be unplugged, you know, for the evening. And I started cooking again, because for, you know, a long time we were just like fly by, you know, just getting everything. So now I'm starting to cook again and, you know, just really trying to have a line of separation.
It's much, much easier said than done.
Oh, it is. It really is. It takes a lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of effort.
Yeah.
I just would want to encourage anyone. I always say a joke. It's like, you know, if you're going to start your business, do it before you hit menopause, you know. like I did. Don't wait like I did. But if you have something that you're passionate about, you know, when I think about it, like who would ever think that you could have a business making marshmallows? So if anything, if that encourages you that, you know, maybe your business idea is not so far-fetched either, just to go for it. You know, I'm still scared. You know, I still feel scared. Like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do if, and, you know, so many ifs and, but just worst case scenario it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, worst case scenario, what are you going to do? You're going to go find a job.
Well, and I love that you said that, because that's really it. I mean, you just have to go figure out something else. I mean,
right. I know. And when I think of all the things that, you know, I've let maybe fear hold me back from doing, or, you know, you let fear, like just the fear of the unknown, like, well, what if that, well, what, most of those what ifs never happened. You know, when we first bought our house back in 1988, we like had two nickels rubbed together and we bought that old house that needed everything. I mean, it didn't even have a furnace and, you know, it needed completely rewiring. And we had our own business back then. We were making, you know, doing folk art and selling it all over the country back then. And we bought the house on contract because it was in such bad condition, a bank wouldn't touch it. So we had 6 months to fix it up. And, you know, we were both looking at each other like, oh my gosh, okay, what if, yeah. What if we can't get a mortgage, you know, after we've put all this, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into getting the house mortgageable.
Right.
And we can't get a mortgage, you know, and we have our own business, blah, blah, blah. And 30 years later, we're still living in the same house. And we just looked at each other. It's like, well, then we go live with mom and dad and we get jobs, you know. Yeah. And again, it's like, that's not the worst thing that could happen to somebody.
Right.
So.
Well, and something else you said too, you had to plan it out or calculate it. I don't remember your exact words, but a lot of people in entrepreneurship say that it's not risky if you actually put a plan out there.
True.
You know, the word risk is sometimes misconstrued as you don't have, you're just throwing darts, blind darts at the board, but a true entrepreneur puts that plan out and leaps into the plan, which is kind of your path or gateway to the better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I read a quote somewhere, an entrepreneur, somebody who jumps out of the plane and, you know, builds the parachute on the way down or something like that, you know? And it's like, that's, you know, that's pretty much how it feels. Yeah. It, you know, it just, but you know, you hustle, you just have something in you where, you know, you believe in your product or you believe in your vision or your passion. Mm-hmm. And I think that you just have to stay true to that. You know, you have to stay true to, you know, it would be so hard to, when I think of it now, it's like, it'd be so hard to like have a 9-to-5 job because, you know,
right.
I just, you know, I'm always been an all or nothing girl. Everything I do is all or nothing, you know, so.
Well, and something else you just said too, that you still have a fear in your belly.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you don't have that fear in the belly, that's when the bad stuff starts to happen.
I think it could
because
be,
you relax and you're not paying attention to what's coming at you.
Right. So, right. True. Yeah. I know the first time I ordered 1,000 pounds of sugar from this place. I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? And guess what? I've ordered another 1,000 pounds. You know, it's like, you just have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. All over marshmallows.
All for marshmallows.
Yeah.
I hope you'll come out to the food truck sometime.
I will.
Find us out there and have one of our drinks or have a s'more.
Definitely. Yeah. So just to wrap up, tell us how people get a hold of you. What's the best way to hunt you down?
Best way to hunt us down is my Facebook page. I'm pretty faithful with Facebook as far as posting my events, where I'm going to be. Okay. I try to update my calendar on my website, but a lot of time that just never gets done. It keeps getting pushed to the bottom of the to-do list. So Facebook is probably the best way. And I'm on there as Mother Wilma's. If you just look up Mother Wilma's Marshmallows, I should pop right up. Our next event is in Indianapolis, our next event this next weekend, but then we're going to be at the Hunt and Gather. We always do the Hunt and Gather markets, and they're at the Lake County Fairgrounds. Great event, really a cool vibe there, and that was where our business was born, actually. That was the first show I ever did. And then we do the fetching markets that are in the area as well, and Pam does a wonderful job with those. Those are two markets. If you don't get to any other markets this year, the fetching market and the Hunt and Gather market, they have food trucks there. They have a lot of great other vendors. So those are our two main in this area. And then from there, we start branching out, you know, further so that we do stay busy every weekend.
Yeah.
So.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, gosh, Mark. Thank you so much. It's so great meeting you.
Thank you.
Thanks for everything you do.
Yeah, thanks.